Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Last week, I met an old friend from university. His name is Alex, and I had not seen this dude in like 15 years. And so he was walking with his wife and a little child. I didn't even know he was married. And now he's introducing this, you know, fine young lady to me and saying, "Hi, meet so-and-so. She's my wife. I've been married for a couple of years now." And we did a quick catch-up. And sometimes my head gets distracted because Alex has a scar under his right eye. And I kept wondering while he's talking if his wife knew how Alex got that scar. Because I know. If you know, you what? You know. A couple of years ago, it was about 2004, we lost a friend of ours. It was a lady, and she lived in the Mukono area towards Nkoko Njeru. And word got to us. She had been sick, and then when she passed away at home, we were in Kampala, and so the word that came to us as leaders of the fellowship she was in was that, "Guys, can you buy a coffin and come with it to Mukono for the vigil, and we'll do treatment there, and we'll do burial and everything." And so I linked up with two people right here at downtown. We used to have a white pickup here in the ministry. I drove that pickup to Mulago. I linked up with Alex, the Alex I'm talking about. He had already bought the coffin. He put it on the back of the pickup. And as we are going, we are getting text messages. That time was only SMS at that time. And so people were saying, "Are you going to Mukono?" And we said, "We are." It's like, "Can you meet me in Nakawa? I am at the lights." Another one would say, "Can you meet me in Banda? I am at Nabisunsa Girls' School. I am in Nambole Stadium," and on, all the way to Mukono. This is what happened. As we were going down the road, there was a sudden, ferocious downpour. And there's already two people in the front of this pickup with me, so there is no more room, and Alex is in the back with a coffin. And I remember checking my rear view, and he had pulled the tarpaulin over his head. So I figured, he's dry, he's fine, we'll be okay. By the time we picked up the first person in Nakawa, they would just, you know, jump on at the back. And then in Banda, another person, and in Nambole, another person. Somewhere around Namanve, we overtook the rain. And so more and more people jumped on this pickup all the way till Mukono. When we turned off that time, that road was not tarmac. It was quite bumpy. And so I think due to the instability of the vehicle and the heat, I looked in my side mirrors and there were people falling off the pickup. And some were running straight into gardens. And I was wondering, what in the world is going on back there? So I pull over and go to investigate what happened. Actually, it turns out, during the downpour, Alex... Alex entered the coffin. And in the course of the rain, he fell asleep. So all these other people who jumped on the pickup had absolutely no idea that there's anyone in there. They know they are going to the vigil. So we jump on. When the bumpy road woke Alex up, he opened the lid, and everyone did what? In that chaos, the coffin cover was slamming shut, and it cut him under the eye. And that's how Alex got his scar. So he's here introducing me to his wife, and I'm like, does she know? Should I tell her? But aren't you glad that there is somebody that knows you even closer and more and deeper than those closest to you? Somebody say amen in the house. Because we serve another in the fire. And we count a joy in every battle because we know that's where he will be. We were in Entebbe. There was a first-time visit. I went to meet him after the service. I need to get to the word of God, don't I? This guy was telling me, "Man, I felt that song. This church is full of the Holy Spirit. I said, which song? He said, Another in the Fire. I said, well, what did you like about it? He said, man, it tells us that we are on fire for Jesus. And I said, actually, it's an Old Testament story about some dudes who are literally in a fire and God was there with them. But whatever, if you want to be on fire for Jesus, God bless you. Just go for it. So there is another in the fire. And no matter what we go through, no matter what life throws at us, we know that there is one who knows us better than anyone. He sticks closer than a brother. And if you're here today and maybe it's your first time to Watoto Church, I want to tell you that you're in the right place on a Saturday evening. Because you are here, you're sitting amongst strangers, and you don't know if anyone knows who you are. I want to tell you, I'm going to talk about a person that knows who you are. And perhaps you are going to find him tonight. There's going to be people who are going to get their deliverance tonight. In Jesus' name. We started a new series last week called Designer Sex. And we saw that God is the originator and the architect and the designer of sex. When God made mankind, listen, the first command he gives man in Genesis chapter 1:28 is not to go and pray. It's not to go to an overnight. He said, go and do what? And multiply. For the spiritual people who are here in this corner, that is not an agricultural instruction. Okay? He was saying, go and what? And do it. That's the first thing he tells mankind. And it was blessed. And it had his stamp of approval. Let the church say amen. But then we saw that when God designed sex, there were three major pillars upon which, you know, he built it. First was to bond. And not to just bond like sellotape. It was to bond like tough bond. It is not a bond that is supposed to be, you know, put together and pulled apart several times. It was meant that once you put it together, it stays forever. The second was for pleasure, so that married people could enjoy each other without sin and without guilt. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, this is why man leaves his father and mother, that is a sellotape relationship, and is united to his wife, that is a tough bond relationship, and they become one flesh. Guess how? Designer sex. And Adam and wife were both naked and felt no shame. When it's blessed by God, there is no shame in it. And thirdly, he made it for procreation, so that we can raise up a godly generation, a new generation that's going to be after the things and the purposes of God in Christ Jesus, and together society and the country would be blessed by it. Outside marriage, it's not designer. It's fake. Nothing lasts. We say it's for bonding, but if you sleep around anyhow with anyone, anywhere, anytime, the glue stops sticking. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, maybe it oversticks. And so you hook up with a person, and for you it was just a one-night stand, and you're trying to move on, and the person starts following you because they are bonded to you, and you're not bonded to them. And you change their caller ID to super glue in your phone. See guys wearing shirts, this Samka chick wants me, but wah. They are bonded, one-sided bonding, and the other is not interested. Sometimes you'll have pleasure, but outside marriage, it's short-lived, and within no time, you have guilt and self-condemnation that kicks in. Some try to go for non-designer sex, for fake sex, for procreation. And instead of raising up a godly generation with two parents, with a family that's after the things of God, that is modeled after God, they have one child in Kabale, they have another one in Mbarara, they have another one in Ajumani, another one in Gulu, everywhere they've ever posted you for work, you have a child. We call it child spacing. And now what you have is a generation growing up fatherless, that is disgruntled from the lack of their father. Some of them are angry, and we are in trouble in 20 years because we're going to have a generation that is now adults. They're going to be a voting generation. They'll be making decisions in this country, and all of them are damaged because they were not raised up in a family that brings glory to God. We must stick to the designer's intention. That, in brief, is what last Sunday's sermon was about. If you did not catch it, go to www.watotochurch.com/podcasts. That's with a plural, with an S at the end, podcasts. And we do have a YouTube channel as well where we archive a video version of all our messages. Go catch yourself up. You will be absolutely blessed by it. Nevertheless, we all know that everything that is designer, whether it's clothes or bags or sunglasses or perfumes, all of them have a Chiwani version, a fake version. Do we know that? And sometimes you have bad traders, unscrupulous individuals who will try to sell you a fake product at the same price as the real if you do not know the difference. There is a label I like called Polo by Ralph Lauren, and the logo is a guy sitting on a horse playing polo, right? I saw a polo shirt downtown where the horse was riding the man. But the price was exactly the same. Honest traders will sell you a fake thing, but they'll tell you it is fake. They're like, this one, it's not the real thing. Okay? It resembles the real thing. Just go for it, and it will be for a fraction of the price. But of course, you get what you pay for. It is normally rubbish quality, and if it breaks or doesn't last, shauri yako, it is what you bought it for, so live with it. But do you know that designer sex also has a fake version, a knockoff version, which is not what God, the designer, intended? And yet the world will try to sell it to you as a myth for the full price of the real thing. We've got to read the fine print. Turn to your neighbor, the other one, not the one you turned to the first time. Go to your second choice this time and say, we've got to read the fine print. You know, menus in a restaurant have fine print. There is the item you're ordering, spaghetti bolognese, and then there are tiny little letters that tell you what exactly it is and what the ingredients are. And they'll say there is minced meat and it's beef and it is, you know, pasta and on and on and on. If you look at medicine, sometimes when you buy like a syrup, you'll open the box and take out the bottle and just go for it. But there's a little piece of paper in there that has more information about it. It will tell you what the ingredients are, what the allergies that it might trigger, all kinds of important things, but we normally do not read the fine print. We just go with what the doctor told us. He said 5 milliliters 3 times a day. I'm good with that. Sometimes you're taking the medicine of someone who didn't finish their dose before. So when you have a cough, you say, don't we have cough mixture around here? You go get the thing, you know this is what the other person swallowed last time. No prescription, no nothing. As long as the symptoms match, I'm good with it. But sex also has fine print. A manual, if you like, and it's in the Word of God, because it is written by the designer, God. And he's saying this is how you can safely handle this very important topic. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to just read it out loud so that you don't say, I did not know, I did not hear. You're going to hear it full blast. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we turn into your word, I pray that you anoint me as I preach it and give me clarity of mind and speech, and everybody that hears me, help them to be not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the same. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, when I go out to eat with Sheila, she likes to order a Caesar salad or a Greek salad. And I'm not into veggies particularly. I'll normally be doing something serious like pork chops or what. But for her, she'll order this salad, but she will always indicate that she does not like cauliflower and corn. Okay? Those are like the maize greens which be in the salad. She doesn't want those two ingredients in her salad. If we went to Java's, one time we were in Java's in Entebbe, and she told the waiter, no cauliflower, no corn, but this salad. He came back with everything, and God help him. He got an earful. I last saw him running to the kitchen, going to either take off the things that are not supposed to be on or serve a new plate without the missing ingredients. He brought it back. We enjoyed the rest of our dinner. But guess what? When the bill came, it was still the full price. They do not take off the things you didn't want. Okay? They'll bill you for everything, but they will serve it according to your preference. Then we went to Gulu about 2 weeks after that. And she's there telling people, I want a Caesar salad, no cauliflower, no corn. The waiter disappeared, came back with a whole plate, with everything. And we tried to cause noise as if we're in Kampala where the customer is the king. And said, but I told you no cauliflower and no corn. And the guy said, that is in Kampala. This is Gulu. In Gulu, that is how the thing is. It is what you ordered. It is what I have brought. If you don't like cauliflower or corn, leave them on the plate. Stop telling me not to serve them. About what? Hakuna mchi? Mchezo. When it comes to sex, some people have fooled themselves into believing the myth that sex is like a salad wherein you pick and choose which ingredients you want and not pay the full price. I have news for you tonight. Sex is like the Gulu salad. When you order it, everything that is on the fine print comes with it, whether you like it or not. It is coming and you're going to pay the full price. There are some myths that have been, you know, making their rounds in the city, and one of them is that sex is just physical. It's just flesh, just body to body. It just feels good. We can just cuddle, we can just hang out, connect intimately. But because the reward is in the physical, that's the part of the salad they want. Can I get just the feel-good stuff and none of the noise? It's just physical, they say. It's not a big deal. I don't need strings attached. We're just friends with benefits. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But then the designer said, I made this to bond you forever. The world says, yeah, we want to bond, but just for now. There was a song we used to dance to in Sosh that says, can I spend the rest of my life with you tonight? Bond you forever, but just for now. I made this for pleasure, the designer says. The world says, we're good with that. We like pleasure. Where do I sign? Sign me up. I like pleasure. The designer says, I made this for procreation, so that you can raise up a godly generation of people who are after me and after my purposes and after my name. The world says, yeah, but we're not exactly into the kids thing. Tell you what, we'll just use a condom. Because anyway, it's going to prevent pregnancy, it's going to prevent sexually transmitted infections. But what we do not realize is that when you have designer sex or sex of any kind, the full salad comes with it. It involves your body, it involves your spirit, and it involves your soul. And you may wear a condom and it will protect your body from certain things, but a condom has yet to be invented for your spirit. And so you have people walking around with sexually transmitted demons, STDs. Because there's no condom for the what? For the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do you not know, Paul says, that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. That's what we've just read in Genesis. That's what Paul is quoting here. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Paul then tells the Corinthians, flee from sexual immorality. For purposes of our discussion, the word flee is that place between running and flying, okay? That is called flee. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Let the church say amen. So sex is physical, but it's not just physical. That's a lie. It's emotional and spiritual too. That's in the fine print. That's in the manual, as you've read. And the emotional and the spiritual part of sex is what gets served with that salad every time, whether you want it or not. The world says it's just physical. It's no big deal. Okay, here's a litmus test for you. You think it's just physical? That there's no strings attached? Girls, you have a friend who is having a fling with a guy, and it's just physical, okay? And you've heard that he is also in another just physical relationship with two other girls that he swears, it's just physical, I don't love them, we're just having fun, it's just a physical thing. What do you think about that? Do you think the friend would be okay with that since it's just physical? Guys, you have a friend who is dating three girls, he's sleeping with two of them, and then you hear that the one he's not sleeping with also has her friends with benefits arrangement with some other guy. It's just physical, she swears. It's you I love. But with the other guy, it's just a physical thing. Does that make any sense to you? In both cases, there is a natural tendency to demand exclusivity, which points back to designer sex as God intended it, which is only found in marriage. Are we together? You want to be the only one forever? Yes, it's called marriage. You want to take out the competition so that the pleasure is only for you? Yes, we have a name for it. It's called what? Marriage. Let's add to the salad. Perhaps if I have a child with him, he will forsake all the others so that he'll be closer to me and we can just raise this little child. That is fake sex. What you want is the original. It is called what? Marriage. Anywhere outside the designer sex, it's clouded in shame. But if you do it God's way, God blesses it. That's the design. That's how God created. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be exclusive. No, that's how you're wired. That's how you are designed. But you see, it's pointing back to designer sex. There's nothing wrong with you feeling jealous about the other person because that's not the way it ought to be. God designed you differently. And if you try to go another way, it fails. That's why designer sex belongs in the exclusivity that is in a Christian marriage. Genesis 2 says that's why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. When sex is inside marriage, it honors God. It is doing what it was designed to do, where it was designed to do it, and it's like a fire on a stove doing what it was meant to do. The moment we take it out of marriage and try to pick and choose which parts we want, it will burn your house down and cause nothing but heartache. Some Christians are busy asking us, we were in Power Sex Money yesterday, and I happened to be on the group that receives questions from, you know, at the Q&A session of PSM. Someone was saying, can I kiss my girlfriend and not have sex with her? Is that okay? And that's the quality of conversation that we are now having. Is it okay if I move in with my boyfriend? After all, we are just 2 months away from the wedding. I mean, no harm, no foul. How much can I get away with and still be saved? Are those valid questions? I suppose they are, but shouldn't we rather be asking, is this thing taking me to the plans and the purposes that God has for me in this life? Because once you can answer that, it sort of answers the other questions by itself. When you have the fake one, you can't fake it till you make it. Some people are cohabiting. The Bible calls it fornication. Some people are friends with benefits. There is a name for that as well, fornication. Some people say we are couples, but we exchange spouses. We call it swinging. That one is called adultery. We are cutting costs. Why are we paying rent at your home and at my home, but we are getting married in 1 month? Let's just be together now so that we start paying. You're not even in a relationship. You're in a situationship. You're not sure whether it is coming or going, and you're stuck there. It's all sin before God, and God is calling us today to turn around and repent because it's not designer sex, it is fake. Some say, but we're exclusive, Pastor. We're not married, but it's just, you know, I live with my boyfriend and it's just us. Well, it looks like a marriage, it feels like a marriage, but then they say, but Pastor, we will get married when we have money. God also understands that this economy I saw a WhatsApp message yesterday saying, if I get another invitation to a wedding meeting, we are going to kiss the bride together. Because in this economy, things are very hard. I'm not just putting money anywhere. Okay? Until then, we'll just do things our way. That's not designer sex. That is fake. But pastor, we are committed. We even have children together. Ah, now that one is a Taiwan. Fake. Pastor, you don't understand. We even kwanjulad. He met my parents. We are traditionally married. Oh, my bad. I didn't know you were traditionally married. If you are, let's then follow the traditional mantra, because today you are here, tomorrow you can be promoted to Muchara Mukuru. Because that's how traditional marriage works. It allows for that level of organized brokenness. We are traditionally married. Jesus was having a conversation with a woman at the well in John chapter 4. And he told her, go and call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. You know that funeral I was telling you about where Alex got his car? We went and arrived in Mukono and we were at her home. We expected her to be there. It turns out she got married to a Muslim. And she was therefore at the Muslim's house. And Muslims, when you pass away there, they bury you the same day. There was a level of urgency concerning our arrival, because they said, you guys, hurry up, where are you? We have to go and get our girl. So in investigating what's really going on, it turns out she's not even really married. She had a Muslim boyfriend. They sort of moved in together in Mukono. And as far as they were concerned, they were what? Married. No ceremony, no blessing, no nothing. They just started tracking up together. She fell sick and died at the Muslim's place. And the Muslim's family was going to bury our wife today. And the father said, no, they were Catholic, from a Roman Catholic background. He said, I'm going to go and get my daughter. So he goes there with a couple of brothers and says, can you give us our girl? He said, no, we are burying her today. She's our wife. He said, no. How is she your wife? Who married her? At which ceremony? We've never seen you at our home. You just started living together. We want our body. So the Muslims combined and beat the father-in-law and the relatives and evicted them from the compound. So the father went to Nkokonjeru Trading Center and bought a pig. And they came back walking. The moment they entered the compound like this, all the Muslims, and they loaded the body on the pickup. I tell you the things I have seen. And they tied the pig to the front door of their house. They said, let's see how they enter the house now. And they left with the body. And we carried on to bury. They were not married by the fact that they are living together. You see how Jesus said, go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. Jesus said in verse 16, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now, the one you're living with, the one you're shacking up with, the one you're cohabiting with, is not your what? Your husband. What you have said is quite true. These words are in red letters in your Bible. This is Jesus speaking. Ladies, listen to me. If you are living with a man and you are not married to him, he is not your husband. Can I increase the volume? Are we together? You're the one going to cause us problems when we are trying to bury you. People are bringing pigs. This one did what? Eh? Get it together. Some people are not liking the fine print tonight. That's okay. That's normal too, because God made you to function according to his design. You also know there is something missing and you already know what to do to fix it. Paul told the Corinthians, but if they can't control themselves, they should what? Marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion, and let all the singles say. That's in the fine print. Let's read the fine print. Designer sex is intended to bond, not people, but to bond a married couple together forever. It's not just physical. It also gives emotional and spiritual bond between the two. Now, some say, Pastor, I will not sin against my God by sleeping with anyone before marriage. Or if I was, I have stopped. I'll just experiment and discover my own body and bring about a happy ending. So it leads to a myth that what I do by myself doesn't hurt anyone. Bless you. Well, here's a question for you. Can you sin by yourself? Do you not realize that what you do by yourself can bring a rift, a chasm between you and your Heavenly Father? It can hurt that relationship. It can hurt a future relationship with your spouse. Maybe some of you today are here and used to do certain things by yourself back in the day, and it is hurting your spouse and your marriage right now. People are caught up secretly in pornography, and porn sort of rewires your brain over time, and you think it's harmless in the moment because I'm doing it alone in the privacy of my room. Now I have a smartphone. I can just get this thing going. I'm just getting my groove on. You do not realize until the symptoms are too far gone for you to redeem. It's almost too late. But Jesus had the hack for this. You know what he said in Matthew chapter 5? It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That's from the law. Verse 28 says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully, now this is not even necessarily porn. It can even be on the street. There are some of you whose neighbors are looking at you lustfully now. When I said turn to your neighbor and say, I prayed all week that I'd be seated next to you, they said, Mukama, really? But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What Jesus is saying is that sin starts in the mind before it is physically manifest. The moment you entertain lustful thoughts about someone in your mind, you are already on a slippery slope. James put it differently in chapter 1, verse 13. He said, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. If James was going to launch a rap album, he'd say, first comes the look, then comes desire, then comes the touch, then comes the fire. Do you know that song? My CDs are available at the information table after the service. I have the whole song. People who get desensitized by the use of porn become addicted, and addiction leads to masturbation, and before you know it, they can no longer satisfy themselves because that's not God's design. They need someone else. So it starts secret. It starts with what I do by myself doesn't hurt anyone. But give it time. It grows and gives birth. Sin of lust matures and gives birth to quick fixes. It becomes an emergency. The guy is there alone. He can no longer satisfy himself. He says, man, I need someone to fulfill, to stand in the gap. And then you start hearing things in families where relatives are turning on each other, fathers turning on their own daughters because there is something they're doing by themselves in secret that they think cannot hurt anyone until the sin grows and overtakes them, and then they start to turn on members of the family. And you have rapes and molestations and the sort of things that we deal with on an ongoing basis. At the end of this service, we're going to have a prayer team here. There's going to be people coming here who are broken by this. And sometimes it's not them who have crossed someone else's, who have, you know, molested or raped someone. They have been the victims of rape and molestation because someone in their family has been doing something by themselves and thinking it does not hurt anyone. Listen to me, friends. This is the word of God. It comes round and hurts people. And it breaks families and breaks society. We have women here whose first sexual encounter was a rape in the family. Now I have two girls, two little girls at home and a little boy. I can't leave little girls at home with a security guard. Because I'm afraid of what happened. I don't know what his values are. I don't know where he came from. I don't know what his story is. It is not safe. And now with sexual identity sort of starting to get fluid in our society, we have people who can't leave male children with a shuttle driver who's a male. Now we can no longer leave anyone with anyone. We've become prisoners overnight. We used to say, well, if it's a male shuttle driver, at least there has to be a woman teacher. Now everything is mixed up. How did we get to this place? How did we become prisoners overnight as a result of fake sex that's not designer sex? Something's wrong, friends. The value of a man and the value of a woman has fallen so low that people view each other just as a means to an end, as an object to bring satisfaction. There are marriages that are in trouble today because men were such ardent users of pornography and their standard of beauty from when they were 10 years old was defined by someone on a screen so made up and airbrushed that in real life they don't even look like themselves. How can your wife compete? We're in trouble. Then when it doesn't work anymore, they start saying, "Madam, can I bring some pornography to just spice up our marriage? We want to learn some new things, so let's add and spice." By the time you bring it, there are some tricks which your wife can no longer handle. She starts saying, "Mosei, this one is very hard." Immediately, promotion, senior wife. You become Muchala Mukuru, we bring Mugole from campus. This one is still portable. Yeah, this one can hang from a mosquito net properly. People are doing some crazy things, I'm telling you. And all you need is what? You just give her air time, she's sorted. Senior wife, because we are traditionally married. This is what's happening in our families. Some wives back in the day used to use some other crazy things, you know, from laboratories and vegetables and water, cucumbers, chaos. They reach the marital home, the husband can no longer get her to the top floor. You know what I'm saying? Now she brings toys, say this one uses Energizer. Energizer doesn't get tired. And marriages are breaking apart. Someone brought one to my office, it uses solar. As long as the sun rises, it charges. Fake what? Are you tired? Are you tired of being tired? Do you feel like you want to stop, but you feel like the invisible ropes always pulling you back into this sin? Are you tired of waking up with dreams? There are people who come and, man, they are so spiritually tied up in this thing. They have dreams of demons using them. There's a guy I was praying with yesterday who was telling me every morning he gets images of his exes and they are sleeping. It's just spiritual bondage of a level that is unprecedented because people have gone away from designer sex. There's a quote that says, "Sin will take you farther than you ever imagined, will keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you are willing to pay." Friends, we must repent and return to designer sex, to the way it was intended by God, the way He designed it, because sex is good. But outside marriage, with other people or with yourself, it causes nothing but physical, emotional, and spiritual pain. That is the fine print. Proverbs chapter 5 says, "My son, share your love with your wife alone. Drink from her well of pleasure and from no other. Why would you have sex with a stranger or with anyone other than her? Reserve this pleasure for you and her alone and not with another. Your sex life will be blessed, says the Lord, as you take joy and pleasure in the wife of your youth." Is it on the screen? Let's read together. Okay, so for words that we can't read, just put a beep, okay? Let's read. "Let her pee be your satisfaction, and let her embrace intoxicate you at all times. Be continually delighted and ravished with her love. Read. My son, why would you be exhilarated by an adulteress by embracing a woman who is not yours? For God sees everything you do, and his eyes are wide open, and he observes every single habit you have. Beware that your sins don't overtake you, and the scars of your own conscience become the ropes that tie you up. We must win back our minds, because that's where it all starts. Worship team, go ahead and come up right now. In Philippians chapter 4, the scripture says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, designer. Whatever is noble, designer. Whatever is right, designer. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent and designer and praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, when it comes to designer sex today, people may be a bit out of touch with God's plan. Some may be wondering, is it too late for me, Pastor? I've already had sex before marriage or outside marriage, and you feel that you have already crossed the line, or that your line has already been crossed. I'd like to tell you today that there is good news in the house. There is somebody that knows you, and he never fails. I have yet to meet a person who has come to Jesus for help and been let down and been disappointed. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Today, I want to make you a promise. If this is you and you have come to a place where you can face these demons and say, enough, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need Jesus in my life. I need him to restore me and set me free. Tonight is your night. Proverbs says, whoever conceals their sins, bananda babatia, I just stay in my chair. I don't want to be seen praying. They don't prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. I want to tell you today that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus has already paid it all, and your freedom is here today, and he is able and willing to meet you at your point of need. Let the church say amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.